Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. And we are very pleased to be joined by a special guest today, John Rafke of Mead & Hunt in Wisconsin. John is a vice president and principal and serves as the firm's Midwest Transportation Business Unit leader. He's been with the firm since 1992. John also currently serves as a vice chair on the ACEC Executive Committee. John, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share this information.
Yeah, I mean, you and I met up with, at the podcast booth in Fall Conference, and we had a kind of a brief discussion, and we said, hey, we got to talk about this, and tried to carve out some time, but, the schedule being what it was, I mean, it was a jam-packed event, which was great, but we weren't able to talk about it in Marco Island, so I'm glad we could talk about this today. And what we're talking about here is something that in combination with a lot of the work and the volunteer roles that you have taken on, not only with your firm, but then also ACEC Wisconsin, you've also been working on a collaborative effort with our partners over at AASHTO and the State Departments of Transportation on digital design delivery, which is something which is critically important for our industry and increasingly so. Tell us a little bit about your work with the Joint Technical Committee on Electronic Engineering Standards and, how you were brought in, how ACEC Wisconsin was brought in and into this project, and we were included by AASHTO into this larger project.
Okay, so actually it was ACEC National through the Transportation Steering Committee. They asked for volunteers, at the time, with my experience in Wisconsin of working with the 3D models that we've been developing in this state for a number of years, as a member of the Transportation Steering Committee, I volunteered to help out and work with this committee. And we do appreciate AASHTO's willingness to bring us on board and have ACEC have representation in here, and so that they understand what's really important to consultants throughout this whole process. Because honestly, a lot of the work that's done out there for 3D models and modeling and engineering design is really delivered by consultants all over the country. So it's a very important and part of what we do. So this committee is actually leading the effort to identify the data needs that are necessary to facilitate the exchange of information between the transportation industries, agencies, the industry partners. So besides FHWA and AASHTO, there are 16 states that are involved in this committee, along with stakeholders such as ACEC and AGC. And then there's three primary software vendors are also involved: Autodesk, Bentley, and Trimble. And so the goal of the committee is not just to establish a standard file format, but rather to outline the information needs for both the agency and the industry partners. Since the industry has not adopted a standard file format and agencies use more than one vendor for CAD software, so it's also trying to develop a PDF type of system so that there's interoperability with what comes out of here. So
yeah, it's not exactly a small task.
No.
I mean, you're trying to create a unified file format that's interoperable, that is being able to be used across jurisdictions, across consultants and public agencies. I would imagine that there are a number of challenges that came about while you were looking at this. I mean, just from what do you think is the most salient challenge that you really saw come out of this process? I mean, the one that dominated conversation.
Well, it's one that's also been taking a long time to develop, is just the level of development and, actually even to establish a format for electronic deliverables. Yeah. At the various stages of development and for the automated machine guidance, and one that can be used across the whole country. And then also to put out their best practices, mm-hmm. and then create a repository where the information can reside. Another part of this is to outline the data needs for the industry and push for the development of the non-proprietary file format that can be used throughout the whole system. Other parts of this are providing educational opportunities, even the data needs within the file formats for the exchange of information, for asset management. This committee is also developing a BIM maturity model to DOTs so that they can understand the steps that they need to follow through with to develop this, the steps that are needed as they move from the process of migrating from traditional 2D plans to providing building information models. So in this case, the BIM can be thought of globally to manage the system of assets or at the project level and how data is shared with design through construction and into asset management systems. So that's a lot of what has taken up a lot of time in working through this.
Understandably so. For those who aren't completely up on 3D digital design delivery and everything that goes into it, what do you think are some of the benefits from your experience at Mead and Hunt and just industry wide, some of the benefits of 3D digital delivery that states and contractors also, want to achieve out of this whole process?
Well, it is just that. It's a seamless delivery of the design within the model that can minimize rework and understanding from the contractor, from the mm-hmm. agencies. Instead of designing a project in model space and then simply transferring that to paper, and that two-step process, this is actually working everything within the model and then delivering that to the contractor. And only using like plan sheets to basically fill in some of the gaps on what we're looking for in the design. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially to give them the information, provide the contractor the information they need to effectively and efficiently build the project. And then the next best thing that comes out of this too is for the agency to actually be able to move that into asset management. So you go from design and creating the model to the contractor to build it. And then from there, it goes into like an as-built model. It, mm-hmm. it has all your inventory and asset information that you can utilize for asset management throughout its life cycle.
Yeah. And that's a good point, throughout its life cycle. I mean, this is not just design construction. This is also lifetime maintenance, lifetime repair, anything that would be brought back in to modify a structure or a design, having this digital asset, which is a one-to-one to the design throughout the process, ensures efficiency in any any further work that has to be done. As a business leader, as a business unit leader in transportation, how do you look at this and say, this kind of delivery to a public client is better? I mean, how do you package this in with project submissions and the way that you go about getting business for the firm? Is it a differentiator? Is it something that you're like leading on? I mean, how does it work in with your business development?
Well, it is, in fact, by being leaders in it, of course, you're out in front of establishing, where we're headed in, basically within engineering is into the model space and digital twins and it actually could come within a recruiting tool too, if you really look at it, to try to convince younger people to actually join our profession, having it be a big video game might be more enticing to them than simply, producing a design and then transferring it to paper and then working through, basically PDFs and paper copies, so there's a side, advantage to this. But as far as the engineering firms too, there's more time that can be spent with your engineers in design and actually development of that model and, producing a safe and efficient and complete design.
Yeah.
Without the issue of having to transfer that to paper and then some of that left to interpretation. Now that does come with it some some other risks then too, is that your model really does have to be a complete model. And that's a big risk for engineering firms, is that we need to make sure that there's accuracy in your model. And so it does put more risk on the engineering firm.
But there are some, that's a very good point. I mean, you have to be cognizant that you're building something in a digital space as though it were, or you're designing something in a digital space as though it were real. It's essentially exactly what the design is, just not physical. But at the same time, there's also some protection from a liability standpoint that if you design something in the digital space with a specific component and the contractor for some reason decides, well, I'm not going to use that, I'm going to use something else, you can go back to that digital asset and say, no, the spec called for this. And if it wasn't used, then it's easier to identify where, not to say that it would happen, but worst case scenario, if a contractor or a builder decides to cut a corner, you have this digital one-to-one design that specifically calls out a spec piece. And if that wasn't used, then you know exactly what happened.
Yes. And the comparison to the design model compared to the as-built model as to ultimately what was constructed compared to what was designed, which would have been vetted through the entire system, through the state DOTs and other verification teams to ensure model accuracy and model correctness and adherence to design standards. If there is a change in that, that's going to be able to be identified.
So what are the next steps here and the timing for the Joint Technical Committee on all the work that you're doing, creating this from whole cloth?
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is that a lot of it's wrapping up this fall, wrapping up even as we speak now to really work through the level of development that's going to be required and what should be included in say a contract with consultants to develop these models. The ASHTO committee is putting out a BIM maturity model that basically is going to describe to all state DOTs, what part of their program they're into and how they can develop this to fully have developed the program for the model as legal document. So to help other engineering firms that would do this work to understand what's going to be required of them and what the equipment is going to be needed and what kind of training is going to be needed by its people. But we've been working at it for a few years, and they are looking at getting this wrapped up and getting out guidance documents and the maturity models and what have you, so that we can get this thing moving.
Well, it's a perfect example of ACEC being a leader in this space and helping define the future for the industry and help at the ground level build the basic building blocks for what will be, as you said, as a recruitment tool. I mean, getting young engineers who graduated and are really, up on technology and up on design. I mean, this is going to be the future. So, what would you say for other member firms out there that want to get involved in this? I know that there was a webinar in August related from the Transportation Committee. But what other resources would you point to or advice would you give for firms to get involved?
Okay, from the ACEC standpoint, both the Risk Management Committee and the Transportation Committee are both connected into this and both have it as standing agenda items. Looking at the importance of this. So being involved with the Risk Management Committee, ACEC Risk Management Committee, and the ACEC Transportation Committee is one part of that, and also following up with what we, the notes and reports that we bring forward. Because every conference, every engagement that we do have, we do talk about it. We want to bring that forward to everybody. Yeah. There are going to be a number of webinars also that they're putting out. They've already completed a number of them to date, but there's going to be future topics that are going to be coming out, and they just talked about some of those today. And so be on the alert for future webinars that are going to be coming out of this group, out of the Joint Technical Committee on Electronic Engineering Standards, and ACEC is going to be involved in that throughout, and help with the development of those as needed, and also the advertisement of that. So it's going to be simply, and you know, if you want more information, it's Matt Reifert. We'll be able to share that with anybody, and you know, we'll be, and if he has to come to us, we'll obviously make sure he gets that information and help keep that going. So there's also other organizations like Building Smart USA, that they're also working on this. The International Highway Engineering Exchange Program, they're having a conference in December. And then the Transportation Research Board, AED80, for Infrastructure Subcommittee. So there's a number of groups that are working on this, and we are plugged into and coordinating with all of them.
Yeah. So it's there's a lot of opportunity here. Just like you said, Matt Reifer, reach him up on our website. Just go acec.org. You can go right to the Transportation Committee, or you can find him on the staff page. He is our service transportation guru, both on policy and then working with the committee. Great to work with, and you know, more than happy to, I'm sure, reach out to him, and he'll be more than happy to bring you on board. So this is great. I'm glad we were able to do this, because this is the kind of subject that we want to talk about more. I mean, this is the future, and getting in on the ground level to kind of define what that future is going to be important. So, you know, you having a voice, you bringing the ACEC national and MO level, both, you know, through your experience and volunteer leadership with the organization, but then also your position at Mead and Hunt is critically important. So really appreciate your work on this, and hopefully as things develop with this committee, we can have you back on and give us some you know, mile markers in the road towards actually getting something produced.
I'd be happy to, and I do have to acknowledge that there's number of other people and engineering firms that are helping with this too. And so we got good broad representation within ACEC, and like I mentioned earlier, I'm very thankful for ASHTO to continue to include us and have us be a key component of the development of this very important future way of doing business.
Yeah, ASHTO is a great group, and the fact that they represent the state directors of transportation is critically important to bring them all on board with. You know, they are the clients, and we are the consultants, and having a good relationship there is the keystone to making this a very successful program. So, John, I again, thanks for taking some time out in the afternoon to speak with us, and appreciate your thoughts on this.
Yep, thank you.
All right, and that has been John Rathke. He is both with Mead and Hunt and ACEC Wisconsin and ACEC National on our executive committee as vice chair. And this has been Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. We'll see you next time.